Well, good morning, everyone. Can everyone hear me? Yep. Have we got the slideshow coming up, please? Thank you. Well, it's a very exciting time of year, isn't it? Because this is the time of year when we get our Advent calendars, which means it's Christmas. Oh, go on, give it a proper cheer. Come on. Yay! How many of you have an Advent calendar? It's a lot of adults. Any children? Okay, brilliant, brilliant. How many with chocolate? Yeah, a few more adults going up again. Yeah, nice. Great. So this morning, what I want to do is talk to you about the parable of the prodigal son, which we find in Luke's gospel. And I want to do it by making my very own special Advent calendar. And this one even has chocolate. So you need to be on the ball, okay? No one is allowed to go to sleep because you might get hit in the face by a flying object, okay? So you need to be on the ball. Okay, great. So should we go to door number one. Okay, what on earth are these pictures all about? What I want to do is ask you a question. So if you know the answer, put your hand up. There aren't really many wrong answers to this question. The question is, what do you think makes a really good home? Yes, Prince. A house? Okay. Anyone else? Yes, up there. So nice and warm, cozy. Yeah, shout out some more answers. A TV, yeah, so you can chill out, put your feet up. Yeah. Yes?
A bath.
A bath, so you can be nice and, again, cozy and clean. Yeah, up there. A bed. Okay, all these nice, comfortable things. How about a family? Very good, very good. So what I've done with these pictures is tried to illustrate a few things that I think make a good home. You might think they're a bit random, but I'll explain. So the first one up there, you've got a row of a nice little family of meerkats. So like we heard down here, you need, for a good home, you need to have a nice family, good relationships, people who love you. What about the top right? You need, like some people said, a nice bath, a nice radiator to keep warm and cozy. So you need peace and comfort, like that kitten there, all snug and tucked up. And you need a house, like Prince said. Like that snail. You need security. You need to know that someone's not going to come along and destroy your home and it's going to be gone forever. Although obviously sometimes when you're in the garden, the snail shell doesn't quite live up to that. And then the last one down there, you need nourishment and kind of building up and nice, warm, hearty food. So those are the things I think make a good home. So summarize, love, peace, security, all those kind of things. Okay, next slide. So, should we go to door number two? Okay. Who recognizes some of these films? So, obviously one of them won't be suitable for all of you. But here's another question, okay? Can anyone tell me, shout out some ideas, what do these films have in common? Adults can answer as well if you want to. Yes? They have a disc. That is true. I am absolutely stumped there. But that is not the answer I was looking for. Any other ideas? What do they have in common? Yes? Are they? I'm stumped again. Brilliant answers. Yes. They've all got animals in them. Okay. Yeah, yeah. True again, but not the answer I'm looking for. Friendship. Okay, yeah, that's true. Shall I help you out a bit? Because we could be here a while. So the bottom left is Finding Nemo. On the right, you've got Homeward Bound. On the top, you've got Gladiator. And the thing you find in common about all of these films is that they're all about the struggle to get home. So when you watch Gladiator, some of you kids won't have seen it, obviously, but there's a really key bit at the beginning where Maximus has just fought the army of the Roman enemies. And he says to the emperor, the emperor says to him, he says, how can I reward Rome's greatest general? And Maximus says, let me go home. And the film shows his craving and his desire to be back with his family. He really doesn't like his job particularly. It's a brutal job. And then Homeward Bound is obviously about the animals desiring to get home. They can't take the fact they've been separated from their family. And Finding Nemo, again, is about Nemo getting lost and the father trying to bring him back home. And I think they portray the reality, don't they? that home is a really hard thing to find in life. I mean, some of you guys might have come from really nice homes, and you might think, yeah, this is great. My home is going to last forever. But one day you're going to have to leave home. And you have to make your own home for yourself, okay? And some of us know the reality of broken home. That home has not been what we want it to be, that first slide that we talked about. Okay, should we move on to number three? Oh, I've forgotten the chocolate. Terrible. I need to make up for that. Okay, so we need some chocolate. Okay, you ready? Okay. I can't get it. There's a few more. I keep going for a little bit because I missed out too. Okay, we'll do some more of that in a minute. Very good, very good, very good. Okay, so let's just get back to what we were talking about. Slide number three. So, we've talked about the films, but what we find when we read the Bible is that it's absolutely the same kind of story. Same kind of story. The Bible, fundamentally, one of the major themes is about this whole idea that we are separated from our true home. And the world is not right. It's not the way it should be. We don't have peace. We don't have security. We don't have love. Yes, we do have those things, but we always seem to lose them. Broken relationship and death always lose us those things. And so let's give a few examples. The top left picture, the beginning of the Bible is all about a God who makes this beautiful garden home, this paradise for people to live in perfect relationship with him. But when they reject God, when Adam rejects God, they're cast out of that home into the wilderness, into bleakness. And so they lose their home. And then you move on through the Bible and you get into the Exodus. The people of Israel are enslaved under a foreign rule. And they're being whipped and beaten and harshly treated. They're not in their true home. They're far away from home. And then the whole idea of that story is that they're then going back to the home that God has made for them. But then they rebel against God as well. And they get kicked out of their true home. And they lose it. So the whole Bible story has this massive theme of losing our home. And God trying to bring us home. That's the whole idea. Okay, should we keep going? Okay, number four. Okay, we need some chocolate again. I'm going to remember this time. Oh no, this is different. This is different. Okay, this is a bit random. Okay, ready? What's going on? I don't know what's happening. Our Advent calendar's all broken. What are those things? Does anyone want to eat them? Beans. Do you want to eat some? Yeah? Try and throw some up. Oh, no. They're all right. I guess some veggies might like them. Okay, some of you are thinking, what on earth does that actually have to do with an Advent calendar and what we're trying to say today? And I said to you at the beginning, we were going to look at the parable of the prodigal son. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm just going to read through it quickly and talk about it. And then we'll get the idea of where the beans come from. So, if you want to get your Bible out, you can. But it's fine to just listen. It's probably easier. So we'll start in Luke 15:11. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Basically, there's this father. He's got two sons. One of them says to him, Father, you're outdated. I'm bored. I'm fed up with living at home with you. It's pretty rubbish, to be honest. And actually, I kind of want your stuff. I want all of what you've got to give me. I kind of wish that you died and that I could get all of your inheritance. But since you're not dead, can you just give it to me now? That's basically what he's saying. It's massively insulting. It's like basically going up to your dad and saying, Dad, I hate you. I don't want anything to do with you. Give me your stuff and I'm getting out of here. And amazingly, in spite of the shame that brings on the father gives it to him. And what it would have been in those days is a third of everything that the father had would have been given to the son. Okay? So he leaves home. That's the first part of the slide. And then it says, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Okay, so he says to himself, boring, outdated, can't be bothered with my dad, bored of this kind of moral conformity. I want to go off and do my own thing and live my life, yeah. And so he sees that actually there might be this amazing world out there. He thinks, oh, I want to do all those things I was never allowed to do at home. They look so good, like those cakes up there. And what happens is he just loses all his money and his life just gets completely ruined. He completely messes himself up, basically. And he ends up feeding pigs, which for a Jewish guy is absolutely the bottom, most shameful, awful job to have, because pigs were unclean in that culture. And he ends up longing, because he's so poor, he has so little money, to actually eat the nasty, raw, nasty pig food, which is a lot nastier than what I threw out there. So, okay, it was nice. That's good. Eating your vegetables. That's what we want. He's in the worst position ever. And he's there, sitting there, eating pig food. And that is when something happens. And it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I'm going to set out, go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. So suddenly at the bottom, the question mark comes in. He says, what am I doing? This is all wrong. I've made a massive mistake. My home is so much better than I ever thought it was. I've completely deluded myself. And so he goes back. Okay, should we go to the next one? Okay, it's going to be chocolate again now, number 5. Okay, you ready? You ready? You ready? Oh. Okay. Okay, one more. Okay, good. Okay, back to the story. And back to your seats, there we go. Okay, so he's come to his senses. He said, home is the place I really need to be, because I was completely wrong, messed up my life. And so he's there, he's got all, well, it's bits of pig food hanging off his clothes. He's coming back, and the father sees him from a long distance. His father's got good eyesight. And his father sees him, and he runs towards him, which for a man in that culture would be, again, incredibly shameful to do that, especially given what his son has done to him. And he runs to his son, and he puts his arms around him, and he says, son, I love you. Nothing of what you've done matters because you've come home. And that is what counts. So let's read it. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So the father doesn't just say, okay, you can come back as a hired servant. You've pretty much offended me. But, you know, I'm going to be pretty merciful and make you a hired servant. He says, no, you're going to become my son again. And that is completely shameful to the father. And you can see here this picture, which is painted by Rembrandt, who is a famous artist, depicts this return of the son back to his father, father embracing him, loving him. And you see the son realizes that he really has a true home with the father. Okay, next slide. Okay, ready again with the chocolate. Okay, that's it. That's it. Back to your seats. Okay, number six. Okay, now we come to another character in the story. And this character is the key character, so listen up, because it's really important. Okay. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing, so the party was going on. The younger son had come home, he'd been reinstated as the son. So he called one of these servants and asked him, "What's going on? Your brother has come." He replied, "And the father has killed the fattened calf because he has him safe and sound back home." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. He was angry, he's furious. He's like, "How can you do this? So annoying. Can't believe this is happening." So his father went out and pleaded with him. And he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." See, the fattened calf is like this thing you'd save for ages. It was expensive. It was a very special thing. So the older son is furious, absolutely furious. Now listen to the father. He says, "My son," the father said, "you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours is dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So you see, this older brother, he's your good guy. He's a respectable guy. He's the guy that everyone would be like, "I like this guy. He's cool." He works hard. He's a man at work, like the middle sign there. He helps around the house. He works hard at school. Some of you guys might be like this. You know, you're a good kid, you know. You do what your parents say all the time. You know, you're obedient, you know. You help around the house. Some of the parents are laughing, I can hear. Yeah. But, you know, some of you might be like that. Some of you adults might be like that. You think, you know, I work hard, I do my job, earn a fair amount of money. Good person, generally. Do my role in society. And you see, he's absolutely furious, okay, when his son comes home. And the question is, why? Why is he so furious? So let's go to the last one, number seven. I'll probably go on for too long if I keep throwing chocolate. So, if you come down at the end, you can come and get some out of the box. Yeah. Okay, so why is he so furious? The answer is this. This is key. This is absolutely key. Okay, by the father reinstating the son means that the son again has access to the inheritance. But that inheritance would have been the older son's inheritance. So it cost the older son masses to have the younger son come home again. He's like, "Man, not only has this guy gone and abused you and shamed you and taken everything you had and squandered it, not only that, but you're giving him my inheritance as well." So the older son's furious, and you're putting on this massively expensive party. So he's absolutely outraged at the cost that it was to the father and to himself in his own inheritance, bringing the younger son home. Okay, should we move to the next one? So, just to summarize then, both sons were homeless. They'd lost their home. The younger son squandered everything and was away from home. The older son essentially separated himself from the father and his brother at the end when he said, "I don't want, you know, you're just wrong. You're just wrong. I don't agree with this. I'm separating myself from you." So they were both ultimately homeless from the father. Both of them had got it wrong. Okay, they both rejected their father. Why then do we long for home? Because we all know what that is. Those films resonate with us, don't they? That we talked about earlier. And the Bible says, because usually in the way, either like the younger brother or the older brother, in the same way, we all have done similar things. We either reject God by saying, okay, I work hard for you, God. I, you know, go to church and I pray and I do good works and I give money to the poor. You know, I'm nice and, you know, I'm a good person. I do my bit. And we say to God, you know, you owe us now. You owe us. And that's how our relationship with God is, ultimately. It's a give and take. You know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. That's the kind of view of the older brother. And a lot of us are like that. I seem to have that tendency more, I would say. And then some of us are like the younger brother. We just blatantly disregard God. We say, you know, Bible, church, irrelevant, don't really care, don't believe in God, there's no evidence. Want to go and live my own life, do my own thing, stuff it. Can't be bothered. And that's how some of us are, okay? So the Bible says we all long for home because in these two ways, generally, we reject God, okay? But this is what the amazing thing about the Bible is, that the Father loves both sons. And he pleads with them and invites them both into the party. And he welcomes the younger son and he pleads with the older son, come in. I want to be in a relationship with you. I want to build a home with you and invite you into my home. So there's that amazing invitation to older brothers. Okay, next one. Last door, okay? Now this is the door, when you have your Advent calendar, the last door you open is on what day? 25th, Christmas Day, yeah. Okay? So we're on the last door of our calendar. And so I think it has some relevance to Christmas, even though it's number 8. Because if I did 25, we'd all be yawning and getting really bored. Probably are already. But we're on the last one, okay? And what I want to say to you on this one, if we just go into it, is that actually there is an ultimate older brother. The older brother we see in the story is not the ultimate older brother, but there is an ultimate older brother who was willing to pay the ultimate cost. He didn't just lose 2/3 of his dad's inheritance, a bit of money. He lost absolutely everything when he went to the cross. You see, Jesus gave up his home. He gave up his home. He said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And when he was on the cross, he experienced ultimate homelessness. He was as far from home as you could ever imagine. And he did all of that so that you and me could come home to the Father. He is the ultimate elder brother. And the only way to live is to realize that that is amazing. And to say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Father, that you love me, that you gave yourself for me, that you're willing to pay the entire cost to bring me home. And to run into the Father's arms in faith and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. So think about the cross as you open that final door this Christmas day. And think about what the Father and the ultimate older brother did to bring you home. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the goodness of who you are. Thank you for the goodness of Christmas, that you gave up your home to bring us home. Thank you that you welcome both Pharisees and sinners, that you welcome those who think they're really good when they're not, and those that blatantly know they're not good and have rejected you and have done what they know is wrong. Thank you that you welcome all people who come to you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.